All right, Rabosai, good evening. Let's begin. So we're starting from the beginning of Parshas Bamidbar. The truth is, I only included the first sheet just so you could see the pasuk in it. We're actually not doing the piece from Rabbi Nachman over here. All right, so you can take it over. It's yours. So the pasuk says the following again from the beginning of Parshas Bamidbar. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Bamidbar Sinai be'ohel moed be'echad lachodesh hasheni b'shana hashenis letzeisam me'eretz Mitzrayim. And the pasuk continues on page number 3, Lebar. So again, Parshas Bamidbar begins in a very, in a, even Chumash Bamidbar just begins in a very, almost nonchalant, very non-dramatic fashion. The Shbaruch Hu speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu in Midbar Sinai, Ohel Moed, first of the month, the second year, from leaving Egypt. Okay, good. So we'll say, so the obvious kasha that the Mefarshim, most of the Mefarshim pick up on, is this yisum that for some reason the Torah felt compelled to once again tell us, Bamidbar Sinai. Meaning, remember again, we know it's Bamidbar Sinai because we just ended off Chumash Vayikra in Midbar Sinai, we're in Chumash Shmos in Midbar Sinai. So meaning, there's no shayla as to where Klal Yisrael is. We know that it's Midbar Sinai. So the obvious shayla then becomes, why the need, why the insistence of highlighting the fact that we're once again there? In other words, again, I understand everything else in the pasuk. I understand Ohel Moed, because Ohel Moed, remember, reminds me again that HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Klal Yisrael, or to Moshe Rabbeinu, through the medium of the Ohel Moed. I also understand, I need the chronology. I need to know when it is that things are occurring, beginning first of the month, second year. But why again the Midbar? Why the Midbar? So what I want to share with you, what I think, the truth is, there's a number of pieces. The real truth is why I gave you page number one also, is because, again, you'll look at this piece on your own over Shabbos Kodesh. But we're going to do the second piece, which begins on page two, right by the letter B. So Rabbi Nachman here says, Rabbi, say something that I don't use this phrase often, is life altering. You know, mamish, it's life altering. Because, and in general, what this speaks to is the godless of Hasidus. And the real godless of Hasidus, I will say, lies in the ability to find the most profound life altering messages in the seemingly most simple statements and most simple ideas. So let's take a look by paragraph B. So the Rebbe begins by discussing the simple shayla, why was the Torah given in the desert? Now, I will say, you should know, meaning this is not a new shayla. Remember again, we didn't do it in this year, but we did in a different year. There's a beautiful idea by the Piagetzna, where he discusses this yisod of shaloyei libcha chalak al hamakom. This concept, Torah is given in the middle of nowhere, so that a person should never think that Torah is tethered to any one place. But we'll leave that to a different time. So the Rebbe asks, why is it that the Torah was given in the desert? Meaning, what's driving the Rebbe's question? What's driving the Rebbe's question, Rebbe say, is the idea, why not get Torah when? Either Eretz Yisrael or
fancy, nice.
When you left Mitzrayim. So we'll say, meaning we're amongst Chaverim here, so we should talk openly and honestly. Right? We normally assume, so Klal Yisrael doesn't get the Torah when they go out and they leave Mitzrayim initially. Why? Why?
Impurity,
right? So we have 49 days of the Omer, we purify ourselves, we get from the Mem test, from the 49th level of Tumah, hopefully elevate ourselves to the highest level. Does it work?
Yeah,
for about 10 minutes. I mean, for about 10 minutes, right? Because remember, we built the Egel at Har Sinai. So it was, remember again, how Chazal described the Egel. Chazal described the Egel ultimately, again, as a Kala Shezinsa de Chupasa. It considers it like a Kala committed adultery under the Chupah. Meaning, the fact that Chas Shalom, infidelity could occur, okay, we can't wrap our head around that either, but the fact that it could occur, okay, but under the Chupah? Under the chuppah, where the marital union is first being solidified and forged, it's impossible to comprehend. Yet again, Klal Yisrael standing under the chuppah with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then amazingly enough, we're Mizana with the Egel. So, meaning, if you're honest, and this will say, it happens to be just a fascinating question to ponder. There's this whole incredible build-up to raise ourselves up from the 49th level of Tumah, and we think we've made it. We've said, Nasa v'nishma, incredible. But then there is such a steep fall. That steep fall, and you understand, after the Egel, we are right back where we were when we left Egypt. I would even venture to say we're lower. we're lower, because at least, you know, at least the idea in Mitzrayim is one of the Yisroels that Chazal bring down, one of the three things that Klal Yisrael did not change was Datum. We didn't change, we didn't worship Avodah Zarah. We worship Avodah Zarah. But yet, again, by the Igel, by worshiping Avodah Zarah, someone can make the argument that not only did we fall, but we fell deeper and farther than we were when we left Mitzrayim. Which then begs the question, so what exactly, and this was driving Rabbi Nachman, so why was the Torah given in the Midbar? I mean, what did we gain from this exactly? So look what the Rebbe says. Umashi saw halchu sham b'midbar arba'im shana, paragraph C. And the Rebbe ultimately asks, why is it that Klal Yisrael was in the desert for 40 years? So we'll say, so obviously I know what you're thinking to yourself. What kind of question is that? Torah itself says that's the punishment for the Chet HaMeraglim. The Rebbe is asking, and we'll say, on a more panimistic level, you know, whenever the Rebbe Yisrael meets out a punishment, that punishment, I think I mentioned this last week. I think we spoke about this last week. The idea that in Judaism there's no jail. Did we speak about this last week?
Yes.
But, so right, in Yiddishkeit there's no jail. There's no jail. Why? Because Judaism believes in rehabilitative behavior, rehabilitative punishment. There's no such thing as simply punitive punishment. If a Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish me, he's going to do it in a way that allows me to rehabilitate myself. So Kadosh Baruch Hu understood, you know, for eternity, that putting someone in a cage or in a cell does absolutely nothing to rehabilitate them. So, okay, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, after the Meraglim, I have to wander the desert for 40 years. Fine, but what do I get from that? Meaning, obviously, that punishment has to be rehabilitative in some sense. So, on a deeper level, what was the goal of the Midbar experience for Klal Yisrael? So, I was asking two questions which are really the same. Number one, why was the Torah given in Eretz Yisrael? And number two, why was, I'm sorry, in Midbar, thank you, in Midbar. And number two, why is it, I understand it had to be an onus for the miraculum, but why did Klal Yisrael have to spend 40 years in the Midbar? So what's it, the Kutta Rabbi says, B'chol Eivah Ha'arban Shana, paragraph C, Halacha Mishkam Imohem, V'sham Nidbar Hashem Yisparach in Moshe, V'kibul Astar Mipi Moshe Rabbein Olav HaShalom, V'kimoshe Kasuv, V'aydaber Shema Moshe B'midbar, Sinai Uba O'a Moed. Rabbi will say, now here's what's interesting. So you'll say to yourself, okay, well maybe the Midbar is a punishment. The Midbar is an onesh. Okay, that's fine. But here's the interesting part, is that if the Midbar was really an onesh, then Rabbi will say, what should happen? There should be a distance between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yet, amazingly enough, that did not occur. Amazingly enough, no matter where we went in the Midbar, what always traveled with us? The Oal Moed, the Anani, right. So the Rebbe says over here, you know, the Mishkan, the Aron, the Oal Moed, but the truth is, there's the Anani HaKavod, there's the Eish, meaning the Ribono Shel Olam was there. It's not the Pshat, you know, sometimes you get upset at someone and you need a little bit of distance. The Ribono Shel Olam gets upset at us, he punishes us, but he's right there in the midst of us, meaning he's there with us the entire time. So what's the Pshat? Meaning what the Rebbe is bothered by is the tension in that dialectic. On one hand, the Midbar seemingly representing isolation and punishment, yet the Ribono Shel Olam being in the midst of our, of Klal Yisrael, that entire time. How do you understand that dialectic? Well, so look at paragraph D, second line. Kikodem Shezochem is a Hiskal Torah Avodah. And I was here, the Rebbe says something amazing. Before a person is zochem, so listen to these words very carefully. Ki kodim shezochem le'izeh hisgalus, petora v'avoda. Before a person reaches, we'll say, how would you define hisgalus? So we'll define it as revelation. What it means is, before a person experiences growth in his Torah and his avoda, shezeh b'chines kabbalah satorah, so we'll say every single time that a person experiences growth in the Ruchnius, in the Torah, the Avoda, I'm experiencing my own Kabbalah Satorah. Well, so you hear how beautiful that is? Meaning, every time I learn, and I get a Gishmak from my learning, or every single time I daven, and I'm able just to like squeeze out a little bit of extra Kabbalah, that's my own Kabbalah Satorah. That's my own Sinaitic revelation. But the Rebbe says, the prerequisite for every Hisgalus B'Torah V'Avoda, the prerequisite is, Tzrichin Lavor Alav Mikodem, Kama Bilbulim, Usfekos, Omenios Rabos, Visavos, Utirados, Ukiyotse. What's it here? The Rebbe is saying? The Rebbe is saying that the prerequisite for every unit of growth or for every moment of growth is moments of incredible setbacks and downfall. There is no growth in life unless, of course, that growth is preceded bilbulin. Right, the person, a person is just mibulbal, a person is just mixed up in a lot of life, sometimes our greatest struggles are not with averos, if you think about it for just a moment, because the truth is, when it comes to most averos, the good news is that what? Oh, you're a tzaddik. I was going to say that one. I was going to say, the good news is, like, I know what an avera is. Meaning, the good news is, even if I'm going to do something wrong, I know what it is. I might be too weak to, I might feel that I'm too weak, whatever the cheshbon is. But I'll say, the greater challenge in life is when there's bilbulim. Bilbulim is, I don't even know what's up, what's down. Meaning, I don't even know what's right and what's wrong. And I'll say, that's the most dangerous state. Because to commit an avera, and to say, you know what, I was weak. I'm asking, I did something wrong, but I was weak. I know what I did was wrong. So I know what I have to correct. That's bad, but it's not horrible. We're human beings, we're frail, we make mistakes. Okay, I'm going to get back up. But when I'm mibulbal, when I don't even know, you know, what's an aveira? When we spoke about this, Rebbe spoke about this in other situations, where the Rebbe explains that the Satan's greatest power against us is not to get us to sin. His greatest koach is the koach of confusion. That we go through lives kind of with our head spinning, not knowing what's right, what's wrong, what's appropriate, what's not appropriate, what should I be focusing on, what shouldn't I be focusing on, what's an ikker, what's a tafel, and so I go through like mibulbal, sfeikos. We'll say, again, same idea. So, to live, you know, like the Gemara says, ein simcha, kataras sfeikos. There's no greater simcha in life than resolution of doubt. To walk around with sfeikos, not knowing what is what, menios rabos, we'll say obstacles, saivos, right? Taiva, person has desires, uterados, and we'll say those things that just weigh us down. So the Rebbe says something absolutely amazing. The Rebbe says there is no growth in life without setback. In other words, what the Rebbe is saying is the following. We'll say it's a very profound yesod. Growth never comes when you're in neutral. Growth usually comes when you're in reverse. Meaning, when I see that the car of my life is sliding down the hill, I see the top, I know where I want to get to, but I see that I'm sliding down, that's when I realize I have to kick it into drive and I have to push down on the gas pedal. So the Rebbe, and we'll say, this, you have to understand, this is such an incredible yisod. What the Rebbe is saying is, there is no growth that is not preceded by setback, which means that every setback in life, every taiva, every tirda, every bilbul, every suffix, we'll say, becomes the eye-opening experience. We'll say, what happens after a person falls prey to their taiva? Right? You know what happens? So for 5 minutes, you feel good. For 5 minutes, you feel good. And then what? And then what? Yeah. Right? And then again, you say, what the heck am I doing? Like, what am I doing? And I'm about to say, especially if that taiva is something that I've been struggling with for years, and I just can't seem to get a handle on it. So I enjoy the pleasure of whatever it is for a couple of minutes, maybe for a couple of hours, maybe for a couple of days. And then there's that moment of, what am I doing? My life is going by. My life is going by. I'm whatever, a number of years old. I've been doing this for the last X number of years. When am I ever going to get life traction? And I will say, it's that awakening, it's that hisorus that ultimately creates the catalyst for growth. So it turns out, says the Rebbe, that real growth is always preceded by setback. Why? Because I will say, it's the failure that begins to stoke the fire of wanting to be more. It's that feeling of failure, that feeling of setback, that feeling where I just don't feel good about myself. And I will say, not because I'm afraid of a punishment, not because Hashem Baruch Hu is going to punish me, not because of any of that, but because I realize I could be more. I should be more. My life should be more. I should be more halig than this. I should rise above this. I should stop struggling with these things already. So that moment when I realize that I'm going in reverse, that's the odorous moment. That's the eye-opening moment. That's the moment that says, I need to push myself up that hill of accomplishment. Therefore, says the Rebbe, there is no such thing in life as dramatic life growth that is not first preceded by dramatic failure. Dramatic failure. And by the way, I will say, we've learned enough about the life of Rabbi Nachman that the Rebbe, you know, is not just, you know, espousing stuff. He experienced this. Obviously, the Rebbe's setbacks, you know, We saw that the Rebbe said that he struggled with two things, right? One of the two things he struggled with was food and women. And I both said, obviously, what that means for Rabbi Nachman, Taibas Nashim and Ochal, and what that means for Rabbi Nachman probably means a little bit different then that I will say, but it's a very real thing. Lest you think that Rabbi Nachman is just, you know, sitting on some mountaintop in Breslov or in Uman, and he's just levitating because, you know, he's learning Zara all day. You know, maybe he did get to that point, but it was only after incredible, incredible struggle. And he says struggle is a prerequisite for growth. So we'll see, he goes on, watch this. He says, V'choza nimshach. So we'll say, where do all of these struggles come from? All these struggles, V'choza nimshach, mibechinas mekomos hachitzonim. Shemekabim chiyusem me'otzem ha'alama shalam ma'amar sasum, shubechinas ayeh. We'll say, much of the doubt in life, and much of the difficulty in life, comes about say, from what Rebbe calls mekomos hachitzoniim. Mekomos hachitzoniim means outside influences. So we'll say, the Rebbe comes from the position, and we've seen this in Lukutei Moharan, a person is inherently good. A person is inherently good. That's, everybody's good. So when...
goes against the Torah, doesn't it?
I'm sorry, why? What that means is, Ki Yetzer Adam Raminuarav means that man has a proclivity to do negative things. Meaning, I have the ability, and I even have the desires, but where are those desires awoken from? Those desires are not awakened from within. Okay. Those desires, says Rebbe, are awakened from external sources. Me by myself, if I'm just in a vacuum, I'm going to be holy. Because that's the default position of the Jew. But when I'm in the Mekomos Chitzonim, when I have outside influences, that is often what awakens within me all of these negative behaviors. He goes on, he says, and I will say this actually, we're doing this in a different shir, in the Bilvavi shir, so we're discussing the idea that Olam is from Lashon He'elam. He'elam means hidden. Right, that at the end of the day, the world itself is obscure. The world itself is hidden, and therefore, many of the things that should be right, should be correct, should be obvious, lemaise again, at the end of the day, are not. He goes on. He says, "Va'azai kishamiskarim ala adam elu haminios va'bilbulim kiyotzei ve'eni odeh shum derech ich lotzeis mem v'limso kavod yisparach v'mischazik v'shol mavakei shemachapes gam sham ayi mekom kibodo as hayirida tachlis aliyah." So as he says the Rebbe, when a person finds himself so lost in this world, he says, Aye, I don't know where I'm going. But he turns that Aye into Aye Mekom Kivodo. Ribono Shel Olam, I'm so lost, but I know that I have to find you. I know that this terrible setback or setbacks or reversals or downfalls in life have opened my eyes to the reality that I need to be more. I need to be more in life. So the Ayei Rabosei, which is the ultimate statement of I'm so lost, because I'm Ayei Mekom Kivod, because Ribono Shel Olam, I want to find you. Kizocha Lalos the Bechinas, and again, Azai Hayirido Tachlis Aliyah. I will say, incredible, this could be a bumper sticker. Azai Hayirido Tachlis Aliyah. It turns out, says the Rebbe, that it's my very setback that becomes the very catalyst for my growth. Because I will say, it's that setback that often opens my eyes to how far I've fallen. Once I realize how far that I've fallen, that becomes the catalyst to say, I gotta get my life together. I have to get myself together. I have to figure out a way to turn things around. Kizocha la'alos tabechinas ha'ma'amar sasum b'sharasho, shesham shorish kala ma'amaros v'chala Torah kula, va'azai zocha la'hamshich misham Torah. So we'll say, skip the paragraph, E. V'zeo bechinas kabbalas ha'Torah b'midbar, daiko acher tokif galos mitzrayim. Ki betokif ha'shibot shal galos mitzrayim, sher galos ha'nefesh v'aguf, as vayitzaku b'nei shalosh. So we're going to take this outside, and we'll bring this together. The Rebbe says something absolutely dramatically amazing. I will say Mitzrayim represents the Memteh Sharituma. Right? Mitzrayim represents 49 levels of Memteh. Mitzrayim represents a descent to the depths. And I will say, when you think about the deserts, so ultimately, again, what do you think about? What comes to mind? So the Rebbe will say, you know, if you're going to do word association, so if I was saying to Rabbi Nachman, Rebbe, desert, and the Rebbe would say, lost. Lost. Because the Rebbe will say, that's the image you have of the desert. Lost. So the Rebbe will say, listen to the progression of events. We come out of Mitzrayim, 49th level of Tumah. We go into the Midbar, and we're lost. We're lost, not geographically lost, but the truth is, spiritually lost. But Rebbe will say, we took that Midbar experience of being spiritually lost, and we said, Ribono Shel Olam, we Aye, we don't know where we're going. And that Aye turns into Aye Mekom Kivodo. We can't live like this. We need to rehabilitate ourselves. We need to grow. We need to dramatically improve ourselves. We need to get ourselves up to the level where we could stand and talk to you at Har Sinai. And I will say, they were dramatically successful. They were dramatically successful. Until when? Until when? Yeah. Until they failed. Right? Until they failed. Until the Egel. And then I will say, what happens after they built the Egel? What happens? Midbar again. And they rehabilitate themselves. And they get to Eretz Yisrael and they send them a Raglan. And then what happens? Big mistake. Huge setback. What happens again, Rabbi Sai? Midbar again. The Rebbe says something amazing. But again, I will say, the Rebbe says, the Midbar represents the state of being lost in life. Of just not having a direction. Of just not knowing where I'm going. But the Midbar also represents, But that Ayeh becomes the platform for Ayeh Mekom Kivoto. It becomes the platform then for saying, you know what? I'm in reverse. I'm sliding down the hill. I have to change this. After the Chet Egel, Klal Yisrael is an awakening. They say, we need to change. After the Meraglim, Klal Yisrael says, we need to change. So ultimately, again, they're still confined to the Midbar because it takes time to change. But Rabbo said, this says the Rebbe is the meaning of the Midbar experience. The meaning of the Midbar experience is that so often in life, we're lost. So often in life, we're just enshrouded by the bilbulin, by the sfeikos. But Rabbo said, the goal is to use, as the Rebbe said, what was his wording? His wording was, Azai Hayerida, Tachlis Ha'aliyah. His goal ultimately, again, we'll say, is to use when I'm in the midbar of life and I'm seeing Ayeh and I say, Yibo Shalom, where are you? But I will say, even more importantly, I'm saying, where am I? What happened to me over this journey? Where did I go so wrong? How did I end up making so many wrong turns throughout the journey of life? So I will say, in that moment, a person has a choice. What's the choice? There are two ways that you can react to the Ayeh desert moment. You can either what? You can either have Yeush, right? You can either just give up. It's too late for me. I'm going to be lost the rest of my life. But you know, of course, the famous words of Rabbi Nachman, right? Ein Yeush ba'olam klal, the Rebbe says. There's no Yeush. The Jews are not allowed to have Yeush. So if I'm not allowed to have Yeush, and this is the Bible said, then the only thing I can do is turn my Ayeh into Ayeh Mekom Kivoto. Rebbe Moshe Olam, I'm lost. But I'm going to find you again. And I'm going to find me again. And I'm going to allow this incredible setback. I'm going to allow this dramatic midbar experience to be my root awakening to once again come back to you, to once again find you. And therefore, I will say, according to Rabbi Nachman, there's a lot more on this, but you'll look at this on your own. Therefore, according to Rabbi Nachman, this is why Sefer B'Midbar begins with the statement of Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe B'Midbar Sinai. Because of us, the Midbar is not just a geographic location. The Midbar ultimately, again, is a spiritual state. And the Torah is telling us the narrative of Klal Yisrael, which ultimately, again, is the narrative of the individual. They're both saying, you know, like, you know, that we say on Tisha B'Av, like, L'Havdil Alef Alfei Rivei Havdalos, we say by the end of the Kinnas, the beautiful Kinnah, beautiful, the moving Kinnah of B'Tzeisi M'Mitzrayim, B'Tzeisi M'Yerushalayim. Right, so remember the contrast, the experiences of Geula and Golos. So you know, the closing Berger Rebbe, Zeichet Tzadik Livracha, said, you know, he said, you know, the Jew, it's interesting, the Jew is always living in one of two states. He's either Betzeisim in Mitzrayim or Betzeisim in Yerushalayim. The Jew always lives in Golos or Geula. I think if Rabbi Nachman would reframe that, he would say, the Jew is always living in one of two states. I'm either Bemidbar, or I'm in Sinai. I'm either B'Midbar or I'm in Har Sinai. Well, say there are times in life where I'm in the Midbar, where I'm just mamish lost. Right, or I would say it differently. I'm either B'Midbar or I'm in Sinai Oel Moed. Right, either again, I will say I'm lost, I'm in Ayeh, or Sinai Oel Moed, which is again a sense of Dveikus. I'll say those are the two states of the Jew. But what the Rebbe is trying to teach, the Torah is trying to teach us, is that if and when we find ourselves in a state of midbar, which inevitably we will, never to be miyaish, rather to always remember, as the Rebbe said, ki hayirida tachlis ha'aliyah. If I find myself in the midbar, That's just the awakening to say, I need to get back to Har Sinai. I need to get back to the Ohel Moed. Never to be miyayish, or never to despair, never to lose ourselves in the gloom of our mistakes, but to ultimately use them as the wake-up call to try to get back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to try to get back to ourselves.
But that's the growth of the Midbar.
The growth is correct.
But so if they have it in the Vekas, but you still may need to have the Midbar again to get the benefit.
So what I would say is, it's a de facto reality. The de facto reality is, no one ever only lives in Har Sinai or the Ohel Moed. So it's just the dialectic of life. Life is a constant circle between the Midbar and, you know, what's the goal in life? The goal in life is not to get out of the Midbar, because the truth is, no one ever gets out of the Midbar. The goal in life is to diminish your time in the Midbar. That it should take me, that when I find myself in the Midbar, the goal is I should get back to Har Sinai, get back to the Lord as quickly as possible. That's the sign of a successful life. But 100%, but to say that I'm going to stay in Har Sinai, stay in the Lord and never go in the Midbar, not shaykh. Not shaykh. Life is that constant dialectic. But I will say, but the goal, and this is so profound, because, you know, when we make mistakes in life, which inevitably happens, sometimes we're so overwhelmed by the guilt and the negative feelings that we become paralyzed. And what the Rebbe is saying is, and still this sounds like a little bit strange, when we sin or we make mistakes, it's a golden opportunity for growth. It's a golden opportunity for growth. She'im kamo. You could grow more from a state of chet than you can from a spiritually neutral state. Again, the Rebbe is not encouraging us, therefore, you know, proactively go out to the Midbar. Right? He's not telling us to do that, but because this isn't de facto reality for most of us, that we're going to find ourselves in the Midbar, seize the opportunity, utilize it, ultimately, again, as the greatest catalyst of growth, halavai we shall bizocha to get back to our Sinai, bizocha to get back to the Ohel Moed.
I think one of the
Yeah, Shalom Idas, beautiful. Yeyush, Kama, Shalom Idas, beautiful.